How Long Gone. It's Chris Black coming to you live from Liberty Street overlooking beautiful Manhattan. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing as well as anyone could do with all the news going on. Diva down. They got Diddy. Huberman down.
I know Huberman is more your guy, and I guess it's hard for you and the rest of the biohacking community.
All right. Fuck Mary. Not fuck Mary kill, just fuck Mary.
Okay.
Diddy and Huberman.
Oh, I'm beating Diddy marrying Huberman for sure. Even though Huberman will keep us stable underneath my little nose.
He's so toxic though. What's more toxic, having different girlfriends or killing children?
No, Puffy didn't kill any children. Stop saying that. You keep putting these bad ideas into the world. You're becoming so much a conspiracy theorist that you're getting into like Hillary ate babies territory.
So are you saying I'm being a bit of a bad boy?
No, I wouldn't say a bad boy. I would just say that maybe you need to, you know, change up your viewing habits.
Well, I wish I could, Chris, but unfortunately, it's a bad boy for life. If you're listening, it's really probably really funny, but right now when we're recording, not so much.
One of his better songs, if I do say so myself.
Great song. I could really jerk to that.
It's been a crazy couple days here. We got the Huberman's New York Magazine cover story that is basically 10,000 words to say that he had side chicks.
Boy, it's a long read.
It's a long read. It's pretty good. The twist of the side chicks all being in a group chat now is pretty good. But like I said to you yesterday, I just don't think that the kind of guys that worship him don't care.
They're not exes, Chris. They're survivors.
There's no way this is going to matter. This isn't going to affect him at all. And I think that's the thing about stuff like this. No matter how big it feels, Diddy came in and decimated. This guy is kissing Diddy's feet right now. Huberman.
Okay. So Huberman PR is.
Oh my God.
Saying thank fucking Christ.
Oh my God. They're buying Bad Boy albums. They're streaming albums right now to put money in his legal defense. They're so happy.
Do you think Huberman's so powerful that this was orchestrated by his team?
No. I mean, he could lift a lot.
Who's at the top of that?
He can
lift. I mean, I feel like he's got Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin probably signed him to Def Jam, right?
Known Republican Rick Rubin definitely signed Huberman to Def Jam when they were in Side by Side.
To Def America.
They're in Side by Side cold plunges signing the deal in blood.
Huberman's like he's at the press conference. I was just so stoked to be label mates with Danzig and Slayer. Yeah. So I didn't finish the whole piece, but it eventually is revealed that all of his side chicks sort of triangulated his locations and his whereabouts. He was doing a very good job for a long time, but then he started, or what I think the quote was like, don't be a cheater if you literally live in a glass house, because you could just see through the window him like fucking side chicks.
Look,
in the study.
He effed up, but you know, I don't think that as long as he keeps his job at Stanford, I think that's the thing. I've never listened to a single minute of Huberman content because I find it deplorable. I could care less. Like, I just don't. It feels like fake science to me. But
okay.
the big discovery in the story is also.
But
that,
imagine him fucking you though, right?
Oh, well, that's different. He's hot. I mean, don't get me wrong. Can you imagine Huberman hitting it, listening to Rancid super loud in Topanga? Hot.
he has a couple. I mean, he's tatted up, but not in the best way. You know, he's got like tattoos of like an owl and like an hourglass, like that kind of shit.
Yeah, no, he's got some professor ass tattoos, that's for sure. Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, look, he's made some mistakes, but yeah, I think that the biggest thing that I uncovered in reading the story was that the lab that he refers to in the title of his hit podcast doesn't really exist. I guess
we went to your lab and nobody knew you.
We went to your lab and none of the rats knew you. And apparently it's kind of like a room at Stan. Like, you know, he has like a teacher's office.
The daycare center.
Yeah.
So Stanford said, we don't know her in so many ways, words, kind of?
Well, no, I don't think it was like that. I think it was just like, let us explain what the lab is. And I think when you're a layman like you or I, we think of a lab as like a fucking lab. Like, I want to see you dissecting a frog in a white coat. You know what I mean? Like, you want the full.
Well, I mean, we're not lay people. It's more so if you advertise yourself as a Stanford lab worker, you're not, you know, you're expecting some work is being put in on a higher level. It ain't the Decatur City count, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Community college lab of botany or something like
no,
that.
No, that's true. But I think that he's.
It's not my hydroponics lab that I took in summer school.
I think his Stanford credentials are what have really propelled him to the top of the heap, because a lot of these bozos have less of an education than you or I. So I think that he really, you know, the cream rose to the top because he had a job at a prestigious university. And does that change because he had sex with an actress that no one knows? Who know? I don't know. I don't think that the.
I think it's gonna make it very awkward in the break room this week.
I think it's gonna. Yeah, his parent teacher conferences are gonna be a little weird. But I think that the. I think he comes out of this completely unscathed. But I will say this: I was stunned because New York Magazine has obviously been on a run of like crazy cover stories that really like grab the attention of the internet for you know, longer than usual. And I was surprised that this
Good job, guys.
I thought he was more niche than this. Like I didn't know it was big enough to constitute a cover story, but I also don't think I don't think that it was salacious enough to be on the cover. I think we needed a murder to give it cover status.
A murder?
Not to go to them jeans mode.
You need heads on stakes. I think it would have been,
you know,
I think we would have been fine if he was married and then we found out about this instead of just.
What did he say what did he say to his girlfriend? Being with you is like, you know, is like the one that like.
Bobbing for apples and feces?
Yeah, legendary line. I got to give the goat some credit for that one. He really shut it down.
What do you think the meaning of that one exactly is? I mean, I understand all those words fits together, but
I think he's saying in a more fun way, being with you is like eating shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that not? I mean, you could probably make more of it or kind of try to dissect it more, but that seems like the baseline understanding of what that phrasing means for me.
Yeah, I guess. I want it. I'm like, can it be that simple? Is what I'm saying. I don't mean that in like a hip hop way.
I mean, it definitely can be that simple because that's. I guess
he's not known for his humor.
Well, no, this is what these guys are known for: is saying a bunch of words that mean something. Very simple or nothing at all. That's kind of what they're known for. So this feels right in line with his usual, you know, monologues.
Yeah, and since I do the same exact thing for a living, it's very relevant to my interests as a reader. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to affect. Do you think he would be let go or asked to resign or step down because it's just a bad optics for Stanford, or do you think they're going to stand by him?
No, maybe, but that again, that doesn't really like. I think he's got the following now, where that won't like. No one's leaving him if Stanford fires him. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one who is going to unsubscribe to.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just simply. Do you think Stanford will want to distance themselves from him?
Oh, at some point? And I'm saying yes, that is possible, but it doesn't matter. Like that's an ego blow, but that's not going to change anything. I feel like, cause I mean, his salary at Stanford is probably, you know, nothing compared to the money he's making from the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it doesn't matter necessarily financially, but it could, you said it would only be an ego blow, but that could be a big ass ego blow, you know?
Yeah, but he's
quick. Like, I fucked up my life so much. I lost my tenure.
He's
not to go holdovers mode.
He's equipped to deal with it, Jason. You know, he could just do some kind of Wim Hof breathing exercises. He could go sauna, cold plunge, sauna, cold plunge. He could do kind of a hike of some kind. So any sort of mental strife that he could run into, he's got the tools to fix it.
So you're saying nothing a little vitamin D
exactly. There's not
fix.
There's nothing a little. What's the thing where you sun your ass like Diplo did?
I think it's just sunning. I don't know if there's a cool word for it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm sure he's doing that.
It's called secular Sabbath.
that is for assholes. I think I think that it's been a fun ride, but it really is true that the Diddy story came yesterday afternoon and it just absolutely took over the conversation, you know, and it did save Hubie from a little more scrutiny, I would say.
Yeah. Hubie got lucky on this one. One more question about the Hube and then we could keep it moving. Do you think that he will release a statement or talk about it on his podcast, or it's just going to be head down, business as usual, keep releasing episodes?
If he's a G, he doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and also, he doesn't strike me as the type of guy who listens to his team. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because he thinks he is smarter and better at everything than anyone that he could hire. So even if he has crisis PR, even if he has like crisis PR, I can't imagine him actually listening, even if he's paying, you know, $20,000 a month.
Okay. So he's, you feel like he might go, fuck it. I'll do it live mode. I'm not going to take your advice. I got this one.
I think people have already forgot about it, except us, because we have to have stuff to talk about. Like, I think people have already
forgot. No, I mean, people, by the time this episode comes out tomorrow, people will have lowered their interest greatly in it. But yeah, my timeline is just him and Diddy and other national tragedies that I don't want to talk about.
It's so funny that you said that, because I didn't see any Huberman shit at all. Like, I really didn't. I thought it would be bigger, but maybe I'm just not as tapped into that community as you are.
I think most of it is, it's sort of like 50-50, like kind of Chad bros, fans of him, alpha male types being like, you know, taking an amplified version of your stance, which is just like cool, rich, buff, hot guy who's single in his 40s, fucks a bunch of his fans. Sounds pretty sick to me. Like that kind of vibe. And then the other side are people who are like, I knew from the second I listened to one of his episodes that something was off with him.
Yeah.
I knew that he was a sociopathic, yeah, totally. Narcissistic, I mean, manipulator, gaslighter, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. There's definitely that. Like, well, I always knew. You could tell. I could see in his eyes.
Like congratulating themselves for having a weird feeling about a podcaster one time. But you know, we all need content to content.
We all need content. No, it's true. But I find it to be, yeah, that there was a kind of passage in the story about how like you look at him, but he looks at you, but you don't feel like he's there. You know, you're like making eye contact, but he's like looking through you. Is I think how it was described.
Right. He's finishing an internal dialogue with himself. When I read that, I was like, uh-oh, sounds like every one of my damn exes. let's pay some bills.
Jason, can you please stop with the internal dialogue? We're trying to have a conversation in real life here.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard. The New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I'm unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
It's really great when these things come out because it's like a, like, the way that he talks is so insane. Like, the way, like, talking like he does on his podcast in real life to, like, women is just sounds, makes you sound insane. Like, you can't talk. You can't use all your stupid biohacking buzzwords, like, when you're talking to your, like, future wife. Like, it's crazy.
When you're trying to riz up a hoe?
Yeah, when you're trying to...
You can't talk about neuroplasticity? Hey, my dick game neuroplasticity...
That's literally what it's like.
Pussy when, on wet neuroplasticity. Hey,
when you read some of the shit he was saying, it'd be like, I would literally like check for wires in his back. He sounds like a fucking robot. Like, it's insane to say that to a woman in like a social situation.
I think that is whenever you have a situation where you're like, this guy took the best years of my life. He fucked me over. He's a lying sociopath, you know, insane person. It's giving American Psycho type shit. What they did was destroyed my life, but it's technically not illegal. I don't know what to do. And then you call and you try to publicly shame them, embarrass them, ruin their career, do whatever you can do to do that. And sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not. I mean, I don't have an opinion on it either way. I understand the situation. If a guy or a girl or anyone fucked you over, you want to get revenge, right?
Where I come from, it's called street justice. And this is a modern form of that, but I don't think it's like...
What do you think Stephanie and Marin is going to do in terms of street justice?
Stephanie and Marin, she might...
After he fucking blew her back out at the corner bakery on a Wednesday afternoon.
She might slash the tires on the Rivian. Don't test her. Like, you do not test her, bro. She could come crazy.
Who unplugged the Rivian last night?
She just unplugs his Rivian every single night, so it's never charged.
I got a corporate in Santa Rosa. I guess I'm taking the train there.
Oh, that's really funny. She puts on like all black burglar clothes to sneak in and unplug his Rivian every night for the rest of her life. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine seeing him driving to like Oakland Airport to hop on the JSX to go meet with his team. And like the Cybertruck or the Rivian has cheater written into it in the key, like some fucking Nissan Altima that you saw on the 101.
She used protein powder to write cheater on the side of his Rivian.
Damn, I put peanut butter in the door handles on the Cybertruck. Fucking got his ass.
Can I ask a question? As you're a guy who listens to a lot of podcasts and you've definitely checked out all this stuff, what is the... I would like you to kind of compare and contrast Huberman to Scott the dog Galloway, because I put them in a similar category. Am I wrong to do that?
Very wrong. Very, very wrong.
So they're both just dumbasses, but different kinds.
Well, Galloway is more of like a silly dad joke, happy-go-lucky kind of guy where he'll make some kind of off-color jokes. He'll talk about, you know, fucking chicks and things like that. He's a dorky dad joke kind of guy at the end of the day, but you know, he's a rich kind of buff dude who made a lot of money and he likes and thinks he's funny and stuff. And probably fucks a lot of chicks on the low. But Huberman, he is not a funny, charming dad joking. He's the type of guy who you would never hear make a joke ever. I've heard other podcasts have him on and, you know, they ask him about his personal life. And the guy's ass cheeks clench up like it's a fucking Nazi interrogation or something like that. Just like, hey, you know, what's up with you and the ladies? You probably get like some attention from ladies since you're like a millionaire, hot, buff guy, right? And he's like, the next question, you know, that kind of vibe.
Okay, so he's on message at all times where Galloway is a little more playful. The dog likes to bark.
The dog likes to bark.
Okay.
The dog likes to bark.
But maybe I just got
that. And also, and the dog is like, he's very quick to offer up stories and anecdotes about his personal life and childhood and all that shit, mistakes he's made, all that stuff. And then Huberman is very like vague about all of that. The less you know, the better kind of thing.
I mean, his upbringing part in that story basically being like, I think this guy lied about going to juvenile hall to like, which is, I feel like this happens with people like this, where it's like, you just get famous and you forget, but it's like, no, I really dropped out of Heritage High School. You can check the records. Okay. This ain't a game. I didn't go to juvie, but I did go to a holding cell twice. Okay. So I just want to get that out there now, get ahead of it, you know, just before
we're going to get ahead of
it. We got to get ahead of it. But yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason why is Huberman's trying to like get somebody off the scent, where he wants somebody to think that he, you know, he has a record or a checkered past, but he wants to create the narrative why, which is, you know,
yeah, sure,
I started skating and listening to East Bay punk and I fell into a wrong crowd and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we, you know, robbed a liquor store or, you know, did some cool stuff like that. And he wants everyone to think that he's that type of badass versus the, yeah, and then that one time I like beat up my girlfriend is like, I'm not saying that happened, but you know, he's giving that kind of vibe and he wants people to maybe go away from that narrative.
I don't think that, yeah, no, I get it. I just,
or, you know, like a rage issue thing. Like I was skating in Barcadero and this guy stole my spot. And then I had to keep, you know, like 10 guys had to pry me off of him because I like,
yeah,
you know, he ain't the same no more kind of thing.
I broke his nose with the back end of an independent truck kind of vibe.
Yeah. You keep hitting him and you're crying and your friends are like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. He's definitely giving the kind of guy who kills somebody accidentally in a bar fight,
yeah,
and has to go to jail for that. That's how I describe him. Mm-hmm. But this is the most I've ever thought about this guy. I mean, I heard people at the gym like talk about it and bring it up, but it all felt, I just don't care about science, and I feel like he talked a lot about science, whether that's like, you know, biology or I'm just it seems so boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're trying to optimize, then that's just what it takes.
Not everyone has the scientific mind. It doesn't mean one person is more intelligent than the other, but it does mean that one person is trying to sound more intelligent than the other. Oftentimes, as somebody who's a self-proclaimed science junkie who has used it to try and sound smarter than other people to win friends and influence people, get my dick sucked. And let me tell you, science dick doesn't really get sucked too much unless you look like Huberman.
I'm not surprised by that. I want to do a full, we should look at his tattoos for next episode. I just want to check out what he's got going on.
You know, he's probably got one of those things on a forearm or his ribs where some like two types of sea creatures are battling it out. Maybe a ship versus a giant squid, or there might be a big bird of some kind flying in. Big bird.
But you know, he got his first tattoo is in his ribs because that's the most painful place. You know, he had to start there and move out from there.
It's very first day of jail. Walk up to the biggest son of a bitch you see. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to make it in prison. I'll tell you that, Jason. I know. Yeah, but okay, so then yesterday afternoon, you know, I was quietly sitting on my couch using my laptop computer, and, you know, I start seeing all these alerts about they're raiding Diddy's houses, you know, Miami and LA, they're raiding the houses, and I'm like, okay, well, that's what, you know, the police do, but then I noticed that it was Homeland Security that was raiding the houses, and I'm like, what? Are they going to find out that Diddy's birth certificate ain't from the U.S.? Like, what are they doing? What's the reason?
Diddy been fucking Osama bin Laden.
I was literally like, what's the reason behind this? And then I guess it's because they are trying to pop him on sex trafficking charges, which I guess because that crosses borders. But it's starting to get to the point with this thing where I'm like, how much is real and how much isn't? Because it's gotten to the point where it's like, he's basically a criminal mastermind that would never have time to make bad music. Like, it's crazy. It's like you can't
okay,
be doing...
Okay, so, Chris, are you going on record to say this could be giving PSYOP?
No. I think he's guilty of many, many things. I think he's a bad guy. But I think when it starts to get into, like, basically criminal enterprise, I'm like, this guy, mm-hmm. come on. Like, I don't know if you get to that level of psychosis when you're that famous, but maybe you do. Maybe he just lost the plot and decided to be a criminal.
Well, I think in this situation, if we are sort of dubbing him hip hop's Epstein, then you may or may not be deputized as a child sex trafficker or sex trafficker in general. You're sort of given that position, whether you like it or not, because of blackmail or things being held over your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are, you know, in theory, pulling the puppet strings and controlling the Epsteins or the Diddies, they have dirt on Diddy. They got the Meek Mill cheek clapping tapes or whatever. They got Diddy fucking Justin Bieber on camera, and they're like, all right, you're going to do exactly what we say forever, or we'll drop this on Daily Mail.
I want to think it's this, like, I feel like it's not as cool as we want it to be. I feel like he's a bad guy. He did bad stuff. He paid Cassie $40 million because he's 100% guilty. He probably did that kind of thing, which is awful, you know, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that is a crime punishable by law, but it's very different than, like, they just make him sound like he's truly like a mafia boss, you know? And I'm just like, I don't know if he has the capability to do all of that. Maybe he does.
Well, I think in those situations, if it's anything like Epstein kind of vibe, it's just blackmail. Diddy is friends with everyone. He's very well connected, and he can get people to do things in exchange for money, power, and respect in the entertainment industry. And he knows that some of these people want to have sex with sex workers. And he has these elaborate parties, and he films them and now you got it all.
I think honestly the parties got too big and people started talking. That's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, they've been, the rumors have been going around for years of, you know, his parties in Miami and Winter Music Conference and
for years,
you know,
but
all the rumors that you would just hear was just like, oh yeah, I think Diddy like might be low key gay.
Yeah. It was always just, he's low key gay and he does a lot of drugs, which is fine. And mm-hmm. that's how I describe a lot of people I know. I don't think it's that unfortunately
it's true.
That's not a crime, but I think crimes were committed. But
half of my friends,
the best thing I saw was the gif of Rick Ross like drunk dancing saying Cassie after she got 40 million right before he went to jail,
because the feds popped him,
because now all the assets will be froze, like no one will get anything, you know. She really got in when the getting was good.
Thank the Lord.
Thank
the Lord for Cassie. Protect Cassie at all costs.
But do you, okay, so you think, what do you think, because there's a video of him at a, I can't remember which airport it is, but he's like pacing around on the phone at like a Caribbean airport.
He's at Opa Loca in Miami.
No, it's not Miami. That's the thing.
I think they had to stop and refill before they touched down in the Caribbean.
I think he was in like, because I think the whole thing is he obviously would already be in the Caribbean. Because he's trying to escape the law.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I thought I read it saying that he, because they left LA to go to the Caribbean, and I think they had to stop and refuel in Miami.
It shows him
pacing. It looks like, you know, the Jet Suite X or the private, you know, lobby thingy, just kind of walking around in circles while the raids were happening, I think.
Crazy they put the kids in handcuffs, though.
Yeah, I want to know why we were able to apprehend Diddy's weed carrier at the airport in Miami, but not Diddy himself, the suspect.
Well, it's probably a classic case of, we have, you know, it's like he got arrested for drugs, which is really easy to do, and they've got these like big charges on him, and maybe they need to wait on the FBI to get there. You know, maybe I'm projecting. Mm-hmm. Maybe it sounds like a movie, but it could be something like busting a guy for having drugs at the airport is the easiest thing you could possibly do. You know, that's
true.
Open and shut case. That must be it.
Yeah.
That must be
and
it.
And Diddy, you were right to hire a white boy to be your drug mule to carry your coke and weed, but do not get a white boy that looks like a guy who is playing a drug mule in an A24 movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, alongside Simon Rex or something like that. The guy, he's wearing like a baby blue hoodie and has lines shaved into his eyebrows. Like, if that guy doesn't have, and he's in an airport in Florida, if he doesn't have drugs on him, I would be shocked.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a five-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. You open up the lid, a little ASMR. It says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement. So it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I'm forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, Z-O-C-D-O-C. .com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
I would be shocked. Yeah, the guy is giving. He also has a little bit of a meth look, which fits into that profile as well. But yes, he looks straight out of Central.
A little methy.
He looks straight out of Central Casting.
But that's a testament to how far the Diddy empire has crumbled, because much like a Donald Trump scenario where the pieces finally fall, you know, back in the heyday, he's probably thinking while he's, hiding out from the FBI currently, of like what it was like in the 90s, 2000s, when he had good looking drug mules,
mm-hmm.
hot guys
mm-hmm.
moving his drugs around. And he didn't have to get these guys who look like they work at Subway. No shade to Subway employees.
You want provolone or Swiss with that?
He's like, yeah, I could go to the airport. I can go to the airport tonight because I have a shift. I said I'd pick up a shift.
We have breakfast now, so I have to be there pretty early. We just kind of introduced it, so I got to be there pretty early. He really does look like he works at Subway. He does look like he works at Subway.
My boss said it's like really important, this rollout.
I had to change.
Yeah, he does look like he works at Subway, and that's why. And I feel like in the next 48 hours, we're going to see more stuff like that where we're like, wow, did he... I'm surprised he wasn't popped earlier. His whole operation was being held together with scotch tape and chewed up bubble gum kind of thing.
I mean, he's definitely over the years spent millions and millions to keep things quiet. And I think it just spiraled out of control. You know, I think you're so rich, you have so much power, you just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. And maybe that's part of the kink, you know, finally you get caught.
Yes, it is part of the kink. I mean, I guess you'd never want to actually get caught.
No. But I think that risk and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it is kind of the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Like Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus?
Exactly. Then you touch the wrong thigh on the yacht and you're done for. You know, something goes wrong. And that's the fate that
you have a sleepover with the wrong 15-year-old, and now you're up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, huh?
Yeah, boom, boom, lock the door behind him. Yeah, but it's gonna be. I'm with you though, Jason. Like, why is he not arrested? Like, how hard is it?
Yeah,
you know,
kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you know who's gonna have a field day with this? Is our friend of the show, 50 Cent. He's gonna have a field day with this.
50 Cent is already having a field day with it.
Bro, he's
already up to something.
He's so funny, dude. God.
And the best, my favorite, the best part about 50 Cent is he will be tweeting or Instagramming about you from the toilet of his house in New Jersey. He will ether you in a tweet and then add a hashtag of like... an alcohol brand. Company that's still paying him like $13,000 a year to tag him in his every tweet. You know, it could be like a tweet about like his grandma dying and it'll still have a hashtag.
Dobel tequila. I think it's all brand. I literally
make it a Dobel night.
I think it's literally all brands that he owns or is like an investor in, because it's the same one. They change a little bit,
right?
But they all stay. Yeah, he could literally be like,
50 Cent. He's the Black Ryan Reynolds.
RIP mom. Hashtag Dobel tequila. Dude, that's sick.
I'm gonna do two parts Dobel, one part triple sec. That's my funerita.
Not funerita. Funerita is good. We need to pitch that to one of our tequila partners. I'm gonna
one funerita.
1942 funerita. That rolls off the tongue.
All right. Let's see here. Big Unk just passed away. What I'm finna drink?
This is good. This is a freebie for
funerita
all,
time.
For all of our friends listening from the Jim Beam Corporation.
Get back on track.
This is a free one. You know. So take that. Let us know.
Yeah, Diageo, if you're listening, dig deep, brothers. And also a special thank you to friend of the show, Pete Doherty, for canceling on us again so we could bring you this hard-hitting, breaking news, right?
I mean, we didn't have a choice. We would have canceled on him if you know.
Pete knew. Pete said, with everything going on with Dede.
I mean, look, he's been in the news himself many times. He knows how it goes when stories break. You know, that picture of him hanging out of the window, you know, with the guitar and the cigarette. I mean, that was bigger than Diddy getting arrested for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you're giving him that accent, but I kind of like it.
I don't like it.
I want to, you know, that accent brings me to another thing I would like to talk about, which is the movie Roadhouse that is currently, it's Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
There's an interview with Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal where Conor McGregor is so
tweaking. Where he's tweaking?
He's tweaking. Like, his face is twitching. Like, he did the whole bag before the camera turned on. Mm-hmm. And I just was thinking about how much it must suck for Jake Gyllenhaal, a very famous, well-respected actor, to have to do an entire press tour with that absolute moron. They did sneaker shopping with Complex. Can you imagine? It's crazy because that movie is going to, it has to be awful, right? I don't know anything about it. It's a remake.
I've seen the original, and the original, it's a campy, you know, it's not, you know, it's not a real movie. It's just like 80s cocaine campy. So it's kind of perfect that Conor McGregor's in it. I think it'll do fine. But it ain't winning no SAG awards. That's for shit sure. But it makes you wonder if Jake Gyllenhaal is there a chance where he's struck up a genuine friendship with Conor McGregor, or a respect, or he's maybe studying him for a future role and going method, or is he? I mean, because I feel like he's such a big enough star to where he can tell his people, like, nah, I ain't going sneaker shopping with Conor McGregor.
Hey, bro,
when you keyed up, no, off the fucking gear.
When you sign up for those kind of movies, the promotions in the contract. You know, obviously sneaker shopping particular is not listed by name, but
I know, but he signed the contract agreeing to do that, and you can change those stipulations, right?
No, that's the whole point of a contract. You can't, you sign it and then you're stuck to it.
No, I mean I'm saying before you sign it, you can negotiate and say, like, I'm not going to go,
yeah, but my
on a worldwide press tour with this cocaine maniac.
My guess is that this didn't uncover itself,
or you can have some sort of right of refusal.
They were already that once shot the movie, he was like, this guy's awful, and he'd already, it's already, you know, written in the stars what they have to go do, so he just had to go do it. But it's mm-hmm. he's a good actor. You can't tell that he wants to kill himself, but he definitely wants to kill himself.
Yeah, I mean, attaching yourself to Conor McGregor as a Hollywood star who's, I mean, he's not like, it's not like John Cena or somebody, or like a Mark Wahlberg. Gyllenhaal's a guy who's done real emotional acting and won awards, and
yeah,
he's not just like some lughead guy. He's a real actor.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't need to, A, be making Roadhouse, and he does not need to be hitching his wagon to, you know, a fucking coke maniac who's like days away from doing something really bad, you know?
He's gonna die young for sure. Classic die young. I give him 5 more years.
Yeah, he's gonna like kill a baby or something, you know? I fucking killed a baby.
I give him 5 more years. But it's guys like this trying to be actors. I mean, I guess this is a movie that requires physicality, so that's probably part of the reason he got the role. You know, I think there's like a bunch of punching. So it's like, yeah, let's get Conor McGregor.
It's mostly punching. I mean, it's a genius casting, because the only people who are gonna see that movie are just like, you know, the exact people who you think want to see that movie, or people who are gonna like hate watch it, ironic watch it, whatever. Also, is there a chance, because Gyllenhaal has become so juiced up over the last number of years, has the HGH affected his personality and decision making to where he believes that spending time with Conor McGregor is a good idea?
I think he's probably, he looks great. He feels more natural to me than Efron, but he's definitely doing some extra stuff, I would say. I would agree with you.
Yeah, he's more natural. But I mean, he went from being like Donnie Darko, you know, emo,
yeah,
kid,
true,
in a American Apparel hoodie to,
I mean, that's 20 years ago. Jacked. I mean, that's 20 years ago. So it's not like it's an overnight, you know, transformation. But he,
yeah, true.
But he could, I bet what happened, I bet he thought this was going to be really cool and he was going to get to hang out with this famous UFC guy and learn all these moves. And then day one, he was like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, what am I doing here? I'm an actor. I'm on the stage.
He's drunk again.
Yeah. He's always drunk. He's always drunk. But now they're stuck with each other, you know? And I like it. It's funny to watch it go down, because it really is fun to watch Gyllenhaal like sit there and keep a straight face, because I definitely couldn't do that, and that's the difference of a trained actor.
Honestly, the press tour, the rollout, the IRL relationship between the two of them is more of an interesting, compelling storyline than Roadhouse itself. If there was some sort of mockumentary style film where Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal just hang out and travel around doing press tours and going to dinners and things like that, seeing them interact IRL, that is a treat to me. Are you listening, Neon?
I just got an email, Jason, from a PR person, and I just wanted to let you know that Emo Night,
mm-hmm,
something you're a big fan of, they're getting into the podcast game. So I just wanted to kind of put you onto that. And it's going to be, they're going to kind of break down all the best albums from the bands performing at When We Were Young Festival.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to put this on your radar, because I know you're a big Hawthorne Heights guy. You're a big Sleeping With Sirens guy. So I just wanted to,
Sleeping,
you know,
with,
I
Sirens,
let you know it's coming out soon. So just keep an eye out, you know, wherever you get podcasts.
Is this an iHeart Radio situation? What do you think it is?
They're doing, their tour dates are like looking like the 1975.
I know, it's huge.
It's huge. I have you been before?
I have not.
I'm surprised. I feel like you would have had to go at some point in your life.
I would say the same thing about you. I mean,
we're
both old enough to where that type of emo is not our world of emo. You know, we don't listen. That's like the Used and stuff, you know.
But these guys are also
Fall Out Boy.
Are these guys our age? I'm guessing they're our age.
A little younger.
Maybe a little younger. A little younger. Yeah. Because I also got another email today pitching the new season of Serial. And I was like, do you really think that Jason and I want to talk to someone about Guantanamo Bay on How Long Gone? I don't think season 4 is up our street.
Is it the actual person? Is it the host of Serial?
I think so. I think it's the two. Are there two hosts? Or maybe there is now. I've never listened to Serial, which I'm proud of.
Maybe, I mean, if they're offering us to get the host of Serial on, I think we should have, because before Joe Rogan came around, they were the biggest podcast of all time.
That's a lot coming from you, the guy who hates to talk to anyone serious. I don't think anyone at Serial has a sense of humor to be spoken about. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're jokers.
No, they're definitely not jokers at all. But I mean, I'll talk to them about, I mean, that,
yeah, Jason,
whatever
this sounds
season
right
up, 3 of Serial is about.
This sounds right
up
your street.
It's not going to be up my alley. I would like to talk to them about podcasting.
Oh, that sounds riveting. Sarah and Dana together made 5 separate trips to Guantanamo. That's what I want to tell. Yeah, they interviewed prisoners. This sounds right up our alley.
Look, we have some friends and family who are working in fighting the good fight for prison reform amongst Kim Kardashian, etc. It's an important subject.
I would agree that's an important subject, and it's one that I don't know enough about to speak on, but I would love for you to identify those friends and family that are working on that so we can kind of give them a shout out.
I'll do that in the outro credits.
I'll go ahead and let me put something together. Hold on. Just give me one moment, please.
Something I read, a little more up your alley. Taylor and Travis shut down Dog Pound WeHo for 2 hours yesterday.
I saw that. I saw that. And you know, it's weird. I've never been to, have you been to Dog Pound? I've never been.
Hell no.
I've never been. I think you have to be signed.
I don't make enough money to go there.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where you get invited with someone, you know, like someone who's already going. Obviously they're not inviting you directly. But I,
sure.
I don't, do you think that they're doing the same workout, or do you think that they go in and have separate trainers because they're working on separate things?
That is an excellent question. I would like to think that they are sort of doing each other's workouts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Taylor's showing him what she can do and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Taylor's hitting the speed bag a little bit. That's crazy.
Taylor hits the speed bag in each nostril before she takes the stage in Sao Paulo. But I know your meaning, so that, no.
Sao Paulo.
I think that maybe he does a little Pilates. You know, football players love to do like Pilates and yoga because it really helps their bodies recover. So I bet he's doing a little bit of that, and then she's doing a little bit of some power lifting so she can finally beat Jack Antonoff's ass.
Okay. I've never been to Dog Pound. You've never been there either. The article was alluding to the fact that onlookers were upset as they were locked out of the Dog Pound because of them, but I feel like that's not really true. That's
not true.
They probably got word ahead of time and canceled everyone's class.
I don't think that's the thing. I think Dog Pound is like an invite only trainer gym. I don't think it's a place where you just like pay a monthly fee and show up whenever you want. Like, I think it's only, you only go there with your trainer.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a very famous celebrity.
Of course.
But even then you call ahead.
No, they were with a trainer, I'm sure. I'm sure like the founder of Dog Pound is like happy to, you know, give Jason, give Jason Sudeikis' ex-wife the day off. She gets a paparazzi picture leaving Dog Pound every fucking day.
Really?
Every day.
Jason Sudeikis' ex.
I can't think of her name. Olivia Wilde. My bad.
Olivia Wilde.
Why'd you say it like that?
Damn, that's our second. Olivia Wilde. It sounds like a Motley Crue album.
What?
Our second. What did we say yesterday? Red.
Oh,
Red Lasso.
Red Lasso. Red Lasso had me dying. Red Lasso was good stuff. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I listened to the future album a little bit more, and it is definitely growing on me.
I'm not surprised.
The Future is just cool, man. Cool. There's no cool rappers left anymore, and Future is cool.
Unfortunately, I used to agree with you, and I think he's jumped the shark for me. I agree with you that was like his whole claim to fame, but now he just kind of sounds, it's just kind of, I think the shtick is up a little bit. Like, I don't think it's working the way it was, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, partly because there's no songs.
So you don't think it's working the way it was, but when his record came out, day one, it was the most streamed hip hop record of the year. Just in one day.
Yeah, but you know it's been the worst year in hip hop ever. Like, there wasn't, I think maybe 2023, there was not a single Billboard number one hip hop album.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Crazy. There's that I guess it's not making my point, but you know, the competition out there, it's so grim out there, so it is making him look a little bit better than he might actually be. But you know, you don't have to be the best, just better than everyone else right now, and nobody else is really doing it like him.
There's just no song. There's just no songs. It's just vibes only.
There's so many songs.
Bro, not even... There's literally not one. And the only thing people talk about is the Kendrick Lamar verse, which is not Future or Metro Boomin.
I'm liking the album. I like the way it makes me feel as I'm driving around different parking garages in Glendale, switching lanes and stuff like that. I mean, Drake's just gay, man. Drake's and Future's still talking about cool stuff. Drake hasn't talked about something cool in so long, you know?
But that's my problem, is that it's not cool. It's the same shit over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, that's why it's not interesting anymore. I want to like it. I really do.
So are you in your post cloud rap era? You're no more, you're not tickled about murder, drugs, and women? You need something with more substance, like Cole World?
I definitely don't want any more substance, that's for sure. I just don't believe it coming from him, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not listening to Playboi Carti, but I think Playboi Carti is fucked up on drugs all the time. I think Future is fairly normal, and he's backed himself to the corner of having to talk about this all the time. What else is he going to talk about?
So maybe stolen as a user yourself. Stolen valor?
No.
Stolen perky valor?
No, I think he's no, look.
Is it or is it not stolen perky valor?
No, I think he's done it all, but I think that at his big age with 12 kids, I don't know if he's still out here at compound, you know, turning up. But I mean, I'm not surprised you like it, because I just knew you would like it. I don't know why. I knew once you really listened to it, you would like it.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it a couple. I'll listen to it a couple more times. But rap music is just really bad. It's really bad now. It's crazy.
I mean, I'm not trying to sell you on it. It's your world. It's your cold world. You can listen to whatever you want. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of shit that comes out, and I'm just like, you know, I like 21. I listen to 21 now, and it's just like, snooze.
That's exactly how I feel about the Future. I agree with you about 21 Savage, but that's exactly how I feel about Future.
I'm still getting jacked up a little bit.
What do you mean?
When I listen to Future, I get excited.
Oh, I see. It gets your heart rate going.
Yeah, I want to have fun.
Yeah, I just don't really see you in any environments where that music works besides the car, you know? Like, where else?
Yes.
That's what you want to listen to in the car. Okay. All right. I mean, look.
Yeah, it's perfect for in the car. I listen to it. I never listen to music when I'm at the gym. And I listened to it while I was working out. And it clicked. I was clicking. And also, the names of the songs, good. Ice Attack.
No, the names of the songs are fun. I would agree with you. Those are fun.
Yes.
That's very fun. I agree.
I'll do a full review of the album on my Substack. Jason Stewart.
Don't
is the name
don't,
of it.
Don't do that. That's gonna get people to unsubscribe. Just keep it. Keep it. No one wants to read
that. Yeah, the Metro Boomin review will not be behind the paywall. Don't worry. Feeding the streets.
We'll give that one away for free. That's no problem. Okay. Well, I mean, look, I'm glad that you found the time to enjoy something new. That's all that really matters. And that's, you know, I do it all the time. It's just not gonna be that.
It's not gonna be that. Did I lose you?
I thought I lost you.
I think you got bad Wi-Fi over there, playa.
No, I think you were just quiet, bro.
No, you have bad Wi-Fi over there. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
How do you know if I have bad Wi-Fi or not? Are you in my Wi-Fi?
I know it ain't me, and I could hear the delay. I can hear the latency in the connection.
Damn, I don't like that. When the corporate Wi-Fi lags, that's not good for anybody.
Go to fast.com on your computer right now.
Oh, I hate when you do this. You do this all the time.
Fast.com. We're going to have a speed off right now. My Mbps is 370.
Oh, yeah. I'm at 250.
Well, 250 should be fine for you to run Zoom. I'm sorry about that.
That's good. I'm sorry about that. Thank you from the thank you from the IT department.
I'm sorry for approaching you with an accusatory tone.
I love that the IT department, how long gone, has a good attitude. You know, they're forgiving people over here, which makes my life
It's all good.
Which makes my life a lot easier.
Just keep sending that Nutrafol over, and I won't have no problems with you guys. Okay,
we'll keep it.
Stuff ain't cheap.
We'll keep it above board. I listened to a new song. Two former guests collaborated on a new song called Dock It, Blonde Shell featuring Bully, and it is very good. I was very impressed, and I listened to it a few times before we got on this podcast.
You sent it a link to me, but it was Apple Music, so I didn't click it because I don't have it, but I'll listen to it. You know, it feels like those two people are the same person, right? In some ways.
I mean, I think that's probably why they did a song together. There's a shared, you know, shared interest. But yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Is it a little "we have boy genius at home" energy? Or are they cashing, or are they saying like, there's a hole in the market since Boy Genius is canceled?
It's better.
So maybe we can step up.
This song is better than any Boy Genius song. So I think that
shade
answers that question. But maybe I'm wrong. That's not true. The first Boy Genius EP had some songs on it. I don't want to do that. It had some songs on it.
What else is going on? Just Like Heaven coming up in a little while. Dan Frommer hit me up for a guest list. So you know it's going to be a movie.
What time are you DJing?
You know, I'm going to guess 12:15 to 12:40, something like that. Noon, of course, not midnight. Dan Frommer is going to have to maybe bring a few of his NA beverages. I don't know if all the vendors will have all of his.
Dan will show up with the Volvo trunk full of, it looked like an Erewhon beverage case.
It'll be like the water ices on a hot day. What are those called? Firecrackers? No.
$1. Yeah, firecracker, I think is what it's called. I think, yeah. Like
something popper, cracker ice.
The alcoholic one. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this year, but maybe I'll do my best. Who's playing again besides them jeans?
Who's playing Just Like Heaven Fest, May 18th, Postal Service, Phoenix, Death Cab, War on Drugs, Mike Snow, Passion Pit, Two Door Cinema Club, Fantagram, Metric, Tegan Sarah, Washed Out, Broken Social Scene, Sleigh Bells, War Paint, CSS, the list goes on. Them jeans and the return of the gossip.
I did like where it was. I like that it's in Pasadena and you don't have to go to like some awful part of LA.
It's not like when you go to Rolling Loud and the parking over there downtown is awful.
I've never been. Have you been to Rolling Loud?
Hell no. They'd eat me alive.
That's true. Really, but it's not safe for you. You try to.
Me in a Lil Tecca mosh pit? Come on.
And to be clear, when Tecca touched the stage, the whole place is a mosh pit. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, it's like an autistic mosh pit of people with like calculators and stuff. But still,
you get hit in the head with a TI-82 with the Tecca mosh pit.
This is what I get for standing on business in the middle of the mosh pit. I get hit with a TR-82.
You absolutely cannot stand on business in the Tecca mosh pit. That's bad for you.
All right, Chris, let's wrap this shit up.
All right, that's it. How long gone? HowLongGone.com. Thank you for listening. We're back on Friday with actually a guest that is Just Like Heaven related.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She will be on stage.
But yeah, we'll see you. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Bye-bye.
Take it back. Metro Boomin having cheese. Now these niggas number rats. I've been drinking codeine instead of rocking evil get. I can feel this money power. Got these niggas so upset. I can't worry about the flaw shit. The flawless on my neck. Wimble noodles on the dog. Yeah, ho, that's all. Go parade and whenever I just pass out. Dripped in Louis V bandana. Got my rag out. Bitch was so damn excited. She just lost count.